And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, spanning all across North Alabama. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, folks, hey, listen, we're going to move into number one of the triple dipper here, the weaponization of government. And if you want to text in or call in for that matter, the number here, 833-687-4448. The text lines are now open. Jeff from Indiana has already texted me about the Nord Stream pipeline, which I'll get to a little bit later. But 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And by the way, if you're texting for the very first time, text the word right side to that number. It'll send you back an automated message, and then you give us your name and where you're from. We'll get you built into the system there, and every time you text us, it'll tell us, hey, Jeff from Indiana's texting, or Jenny from Decatur, or Brian from Huntsville. So I've got a series of pieces here, part of my resources for this particular part of the show. I'm going to start with one. I thought about closing with this one. I thought, no. This is like the intro of intros as opposed to the closing statements. Story from thechristianpost.com dated August 18th titled Weaponization of Government for Political Purposes. It's by somebody named Hadaya Miramati, who I looked up a little while ago. She has a long history of working in American law enforcement, in counterterrorism. She says, never in my lifetime that I think I will see, I'm sorry, she's quoting Ben Carson here. I'm sorry, she's quoting Ben Carson in her piece. Never in my lifetime did I think I will see an American law enforcement agency be run and weaponized like the FBI was, and it says last evening, but it was referring to Mar-a-Lago's raid. He says, this is a frightening development in our modern political arena. She then goes on to say, throughout her career, she was involved in building many of the security programs that are now being weaponized against conservatives, so the whole situation is now deeply personal, she said. She spent over 20 years in the field of national security, and she says she's considered an expert in terrorism prevention programs. And she looks at the various things that are happening. She sums up several of them. Like, for instance, the most notable that we've seen in recent months, on August 8th, a swarm of FBI agents descended on Mar-a-Lago, the personal residence of former President Donald Trump. They executed a criminal search warrant, which is something that has never happened to a U.S. president in our nation's history. And the Department of Justice went to a judge under seal, so the affidavit supporting the warrant was not even disclosed. And since then, we've had to force the issue to be able to see it. In her words, she said, this is the federal government's power being weaponized for political purposes. Well, if that was a singular instance, you'd go, well, it's just because the liberals are going, it's Donald Trump. It's just because it's Trump. He shouldn't have had those papers and those boxes because he doesn't have rights to those things. Yeah, well, that's arguable, all right? Arguable. The court of law will consider that. But then Hadaya Miramati points out, this began in 2016 when the FBI began surveillance of Trump campaign advisor Carter Page based on falsified evidence that they carried to the FISA court. It also says they did an improper investigation, if you remember, Peter Strzok, of the four-star general and former head of defense intelligence, Michael Flynn. He gave 40 years of his life serving in the U.S. military, but was indicted on an obscure law prohibiting unauthorized diplomatic conduct or contacts. And by the way, think about this. Michael Flynn was the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency with ultra-secret clearance levels, and yet they're going to indict him because he allegedly had an authorized contact with a foreign government. Didn't wash. It says that though Trump was impeached along party lines through Congress, the Senate finally ultimately voted to acquit him of the charges because they could see through it. It says we've seen parents labeled as domestic terrorists for passionately opposing the indoctrination and over-sexualization of their children. January 6th trials have landed people like Dr. Simone Gold, a renowned doctor and lawyer, in prison for entering the Capitol and taking pictures. Protesters were allowed to gather outside Supreme Court justices' homes to intimidate them with minimal police interference. Justice Kavanaugh thankfully survived an attempted assassination attempt. Pregnancy centers are being vandalized. Most recently, they've authorized the expenditure to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. And she goes on to say further in the article, she can recall meetings with representatives from social media giants like Google and Facebook, she says, where they literally pleaded with them to remove the accounts of suspected foreign terror recruiters on social media. But, the media giants, they didn't want to be seen as in bed with government interfering in free speech. Well, times have changed, she points out. They are now so ideologically aligned with the current administration that you say the wrong thing, you disagree with Twitter, and you're off the air. Well, she goes on to talk about her own faith and about her own experiences and believing that this can change, but we've got to push for it to change. We can't just sit idly by. Well, people aren't sitting idly by. You know, these bursts, these salvos against civil liberties, they're happening, and they're happening too frequently. They're not one-offs. They almost appear to be part of the pattern and practice of government right now. But I'll be honest with you, what I am seeing is that there has become more and more of a pushback. You know, I did my monologue yesterday on St. Maurice, and the idea that we need people who are willing to look these kind of things in the eye and say, you know what? Not on my watch. I'm an FBI agent, and I won't do that. Or I'm a DOJ operative or attorney, and I'm not going down that road. Or I work for the IRS, and I'm not going to persecute that conservative business. I'm not going to do it. And you can just pound sand, boss. I'm not going to do it. You know it's wrong. And we need more bosses who are willing to not put their people in those positions. What's happening? Story on the New York Post. New York Post. You may recall that just recently, there's a FBI whistleblower named Stephen Friend. Stephen Friend is a member of the FBI. He's an agent in the FBI. He's also been a SWAT team member. And he recently came out of the FBI as a whistleblower. And you talk about persecution from his superiors. But what he basically said was he was being asked to participate in SWAT-type raids on alleged January 6 misdemeanor offenses. And he said, this is wrong. This is an abuse of our authority. And he refused to do it. Well, you got 30 ex-FBI agents now saying they stand up to support him in his exposure of the agency's political bias. These are all people who have had high-level opportunity to serve in the FBI, and they're coming out now and saying, good on you, friend. Good on you for doing it. New York Post says one of them, a guy named Ernie Tibaldi, a retired agent from San Francisco, says it's time to stop the FBI from being the enforcer of a political party's ideology. We need to reestablish the FBI as the apolitical, independent law enforcement entity it always was. And he expressed gratitude to Agent Friend for having the courage to stand up to the corruption. Many former agents, it says, hailed Friend, a SWAT team member in Florida, as a hero after he was punished for refusing to participate in what he regarded as unnecessarily heavy-handed SWAT raids over January 6 misdemeanors. Going on down the line here, another guy named Terry Turchi, who used to head up, he was the deputy assistant director for the FBI's counterterrorism division. He describes Agent Friend as a model example of what FBI agents nationwide should be. Turchi himself led the Unabomber Task Force. He says he didn't even use a SWAT team in 1996 when they went and arrested the Unabomber Theodore Kaczynski, who was a violent domestic terrorist who had killed 3 people and injured 23 others. You look at this and you think, okay, how did we get to this point where it takes a SWAT team to go to the house of someone who walked around the Capitol taking pictures? By the way, don't mistake me saying that for saying that everybody involved in January 6 is innocent. I'm not. There were things that happened that shouldn't have happened. But first of all, don't label it insurrection to me, and don't try to say that those who didn't participate in anything other than just like, wow, we're inside. What's going on? Take a picture of this. Put it on your Facebook page. This is a big deal. That is not the same as insurrection, and we're wasting our time trying to prove otherwise. Well, Special Agent David Baldovin, who served from 69 to 2000, including 25 years in SWAT, regarding Agent Friend, he says, the current use, or should I say abuse, of Bureau SWAT teams has been outrageous. And Baldovin expressed thanks to Friend for having the courage to say no to the current bunch of FBI bureaucrats and tyrants. He says, they do not exemplify fidelity, bravery, and integrity, but you, sir, certainly do. There's that. It's not just there, though. That's one example. The weaponized FBI has become an issue. And by the way, I know there's a bunch of good, solid men and women in the FBI. Rank and file folks who do not get what's happening right now and didn't sign up for that crap. And what it's going to wind up taking is some of them being willing to say, not on our watch. And I know what that means. I know that can mean a negative eval. I know that can even mean, I don't know, losing your career. But at what point do you violate civil liberties knowingly and willfully and just go, it was my job? I got a caller on the line about that. All right, let me just grab that real quick. Line five, Robert from Athens, how you doing?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. What's on your mind?
Okay, what it is, I think this has already been discussed, but I'll bring it up anyways. The FBI is the only government agency or bureau that has never been authorized by act of Congress. There's no law that establishes them. They came out of the Burns anti-communist thug group that started around 1920. And if Trump could get elected, personally, I don't think that's going to happen. In 2024, he could dissolve the FBI in its entirety with an executive order.
Well, we're not going to dissolve the FBI. We need to fix what's there.
Why not?
Why would you?
Why not?
Why?
Because they're positioned to be an American Gestapo.
Yeah, why don't you go back to Birmingham and say we're going to dissolve the police force? I mean, you got to have law enforcement. I mean, I don't mind having law enforcement capability. What I do mind is when they start jackbooting and kicking in doors that they don't deserve to kick in.
There's nothing to stop them. Congress has never set their boundaries.
Well, and that is a part of the reform I'm talking about, yes, sir. But the idea that we're going to see an executive order do away with the entire FBI is just not going to happen. It's not a good idea.
Well, you're probably right. It's not going to happen, but I'm saying it could happen. And if I'm scared to death that there's going to be another raid on Donald Trump, and they're going to shoot him.
Well, and I think if they did, it would be the end of things that we see going on right now. It would be the thing that would bring the death knell to their actions. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they've already overplayed their hand, and they're paying the price for it right now, trying to figure out how to crawfish out of it. But I just think we need to see them be reformed and recognize their place and know their role. And if there's some reforms that need to happen through Congress, then certainly we do it. But, sir, I do not see it's like defunding the police. I don't see doing away with law enforcement as the answer. I see making sure that law enforcement knows their role as the answer.
Then Congress should act.
Well, yes, sir, but Congress is controlled by the people who want the thug activities right now. So until the midterms are over, we're not going to have that thing. And then we got a president who won't sign the law if the Congress passes it. So it might be a couple years, but I do agree some things need to change. Hey, thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate you. Let me move to another one before I run out of time. You know what? It's already 2:47. Boomer, tell you what, take us to the break. It ain't no way I'm finishing this segment, Boomer. I got through one.
You got through
one. I got through one. No, two. I got through two articles out of my stack on this one topic. And we got my friend Becky Gerritsen calling in at 3 o'clock. So we'll hear that, too. If anybody knows about weaponization of government, it's my friend Becky. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Let's see, which of these stories do I want to try and get in now? I mean, I got a whole plethora of stories. I'm just holding them up. Reach into the deck, pick a card, pick any card. Let me see here. I'm just going to this one. Fact-checking, this is from Heritage Foundation, dated August 12th. Fact-checking Team Biden on who those 87,000 new IRS agents would audit. All right, so you remember this. They passed the, what do they call that ridiculous piece of legislation? The Inflation Reduction Act. Inflation Reduction Act. How do you reduce inflation by spending billions and billions of unnecessary dollars on doing things like, I don't know, hiring IRS agents, 87,000 IRS 87. Have you ever heard of any branch of government getting a one-time whack of building up to 87,000 new employees? That's unreal. And you know, once they get in there, you can't get rid of them. The Biden administration has promised not to raise taxes on anyone making under $400,000 a year. Heritage Foundation reminds us. And despite estimates from official congressional scorekeepers that the Schumer Mansion Biden tax increase indeed would raise taxes on those Americans, the administration has doubled down on the claim. Yeah. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen sent a letter Wednesday to IRS Commissioner Paul Rettig that includes this statement, that she directs that any additional resources, including new personnel or auditors that are hired, shall not be used to increase the share of small business or households below $400,000. Okay. But then they go on to point out that a scoring of the bill does not permit them the opportunity to bring in the amount of revenue they say the bill will bring in unless they start auditing small businesses and middle-income families. Period. There's no way around it. And if you can have 87,000 new IRS agents, what do you think they're going to do? Hey, fellas, just sit around. We'll call you if we need you. But there's 87,000 of us. Yeah, just sit around. We'll call you if we need you. No, it's not going to work that way. They're going to say, all right, you've got 10 years experience, so we're going to give you this file on somebody who makes $450,000. Go at it. All right, the rest of y'all, you bunch of rookies, all right, come over here. I got something. This guy only makes $50,000 a year. Go ahead and go find out about his stuff. That's what's going to happen. Here, go earn your bones. Go earn your bones, rookie, IRS rookie. Go over there, and that's what's going to happen. What are you doing? You got something?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's those ones right out of college. Remember those freshies?
Yeah, the freshies. That's right. I forgot that. We called them that one day, didn't we?
We did.
Bunch of freshies. It's the freshies you got to watch out for, man. They come in there all full of spit and vinegar. All right. But then following that up, here's the kickback. Here's the pushback. This is the kind of thing that has to happen, although right now this doesn't have a snowball's chance. Storyline dated two days ago, from the Epoch Times. GOP study committee chairman's proposal would rescind Biden's 87,000 new IRS agents. I like that plan. More than $80 billion for President Joe Biden's plan to double the size of the IRS workforce by adding 87,000 new agents would be rescinded by a proposal introduced on September 26 by Republican Study Committee Chair Representative Jim Banks of Indiana. Okay, there's a mouthful. Bottom line is this. He's floating a bill that would take the money that was going to be dedicated to the IRS and realign it for things that are benefiting to the taxpayer. Okay, like a tax break is what he says. Okay, here's the problem you got. That sounds wonderful in theory. And I like the idea. Drop the bill. I mean, heck, if things really go our way, drop the bill. Who knows what'll happen? But the problem is this. You got to have both the House and the Senate to pass the legislation and a president who will sign it. So unless you've got the ability to modify something without presidential signature, you're going to have a hard time. But I like the idea of coming at it. And this is, by the way, what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to start defunding some of this crap. They're going to have to, because the weaponization of the IRS has already happened before. In a minute, my friend Becky Garrison is going to be on. If anybody is the poster child for the weaponization of the IRS, it's her. You remember her, she, the Wetumpka Tea Party. She wound up testifying before Congress because of the Wetumpka Tea Party being targeted by Lois Lerner and the IRS thugs who were basically using their power to leverage against conservative groups, hers being one. Well, Becky's now with Eagle Forum. She's facing it again. The Department of Justice, under Merrick Garland, they have sent a subpoena wanting 5 years' worth of records because Eagle Forum, where Becky's now the executive director, dared to support and advocate for legislation that we just passed that bans transgender therapies and surgeries on minors. We call it the VCAP bills. I mean, why is that so controversial? And oh, by the way, that's part of the process. They advocate because they're a 501 organization that advocates. That's what they do. They've done it for 40 years. And now we have a weaponized DOJ saying, give us your papers. We'll talk to Becky. They're fighting back. I want to hear what they have to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.